Lord, thank you for your words. Make them alive now and let us be able to live by them and be encouraged by them and be able to share this life with other people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Today we celebrate what the world calls Palm Sunday. Now, this is the day that Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He says, okay, now it's time to reveal who I am and what I've come to do. And he entered in, and people were honoring him. Many believed him that he was the Messiah. Many didn't. And they were honoring him, sort of had a procession into the city, crying out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, which means save now. It's also a term of adoration. And Jesus Christ, we know, came in to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. That's us. That's why he came. He came to give life. How appropriately today in Ephesians chapter 2 of Ephesians, we begin with, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. This is why he came in. We just happen to be there today as he makes his triumphant entry. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We believers have been snatched from death and have been given life. We're saved. And as we will study in Ephesians 2, we will see it's through faith in Jesus Christ. In verse 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We start out with a graveyard scene. First part of this chapter is a graveyard, a cemetery. We who were dead in trespasses and sin. Dead. You know, when we were young, when you're young, you tell a lot of jokes with kids. And I remember in town we used to, it was a riddle joke type thing. Hey, you know how many dead people are in the local cemetery here? And the answer was, all of them. They're all dead. And you know what? We all start out dead. We all start out dead. We human beings have a fallen nature. By nature, we're sinners. Spiritually speaking, we're lost. And we're dead. Now, that's a morbid thought, isn't it? When you read these first few verses, what a morbid thought. Just think of before you were a Christian, that's where you were. A physically dead person does not respond to physical stimulation. I don't care what you do. Not going to respond. A spiritually dead person does not respond to spiritual stimulation. Spiritual things. Why? Because they're dead inside. They don't hear it. They don't see it. We all started out spiritually dead. It starts out, and you he made alive. Well, if he made us alive, we must have been dead. You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We start out spiritually dead, not alive to the things of God, to the things of Christ. No eternal life in heaven, no hope. Now, what's the reason? What's the reason? Trespasses and sins. You were dead in trespasses and sin. Not intentional and intentional disobedience to God, transgressing his word, his law. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody's a sinner. That's one thing we do have in common. We all started out as sinners. And verse 6, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And so, if we're sinners, we die. And that's the morbid things we cover here in the first part of Ephesians chapter 2. You know, that'd be awful. Hey, when you have a child and then they're old enough to understand and read and things, you say, you know what, you're dead, and you're in a bad state, and you're not going to the right place. Well, that would really depress them. But then we could share. But, so we're all dead, but the good news is we can do something about it. It'd be as if there were a dead person physically and there were something they could do to bring that person back to life. Healed. But we can't. But we can spiritually. We can be born again. Start a new birthday. A new birth. Once one dies physically, nothing can be done. They can't live again. But spiritually, God has a way to settle what caused the death, trespasses and sins, a way to clear up the issue, wash it away, cleanse you, take it away and make you alive. It can make you born again. We should count our birthdays of being born again. That's a lot better. And you be made alive who once were dead spiritually. The Living Bible, a paraphrased Bible. I remember when I first was a Christian, I used to look at that a lot. It was pretty popular because it's paraphrased pretty clean English. And you could really get the thought. It's not good for a study Bible, but you get the thought of what's being said. Here's how it paraphrased verse 1. To get an idea of what the scripture says. Once you were under God's curse, doomed forever for your sins. That's what it says. Once you were under God's curse, doomed forever because of your sins. And that's what he's saying. We were doomed. We were cursed because of our sins. See, the unbeliever is not sick. And that's the problem with our society today. The unbeliever is not sick. What he's doing is not because he's sick. And the unbeliever is not sick. He's dead. And we need to understand that. He's dead. And they need to have life. And need to be resurrected to gain eternal life. And only God has the power to raise the dead. No one else. God has the power to raise the dead. And one can be born again. If you're raised from the dead, you're born again. George Whitefield, some of you may know him, famous evangelist in the 1700s, made a great impact on our country. He was asked why he preached so much on the text in John 3:7, you must be born again. He answered, because you must be born again. All once dead, that's what we were. And once, verse 2, we and the Ephesians he's writing to, and they were really into a lot of immorality and idolatry and terrible sin, but sin is sin. He says, and once you, Ephesians, and we today, and all sinners, all unbelievers, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. He says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And first of all, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. You followed, you lived, you and me, followed the crowd in sin. That's the way we once were. A lot of us here have been Christians for a long time. And over the years, we've met a lot of people that are Christians for a long time, and you get to know them, and they're saints in the Lord. And all you do is know them according to their new born-again life. Whenever they share their testimony, share what they used to do in their old life, you say, no, you didn't do that. Aren't you shocked? You know, I'm shocked. It's like, no, don't tell me that. No, too much information. You know, you once. Now, that's the key word, once. Hopefully we can all say that. We once walked according to this course of this world. May that be said of all of us, not anymore. We once lived like the world, the worldly system in opposition to God it speaks of when it mentions the world. A fleshly life, a selfish life, ruled by Satan. According to the prince of this world. Who's the prince of this world? Satan. It's not that they're Satan worshipers, and not that I was a Satan worshiper, but you can only serve one master. Either the Lord or Satan. He heads up the world, and Jesus is the creator, the ruler over everything, over life. He says, you once followed the prince of this world, the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You know, it means we followed the worldly crowd who actually follows Satan, that great deceiver, the father of lies. And he is alive and still works in unbelievers, it tells us here in verse 2. He, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, he's still working in people. Some of the things I see happen today, the atrocities, you say, how could a person do that? How could a person gas children? Satan. How did they commit these mass murders and do all these things? Satan. Guided by Satan. Hard, cold, dead inside. Everybody serves somebody. We serve the Lord, not the devil. And we once walked according to the course of this world. And hopefully we all say that we don't do those things anymore. The things that the world does according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We need to remember that every time we're walking according to the world, we're following Satan. And he's still working in the sons of disobedience. So we walked according to those whose heart is against the Lord. And also, among whom also we all conducted ourselves. We lived that way. Not only followed the world, we lived that way. We did those things, those horrible things that we don't even want to think of. So we were following the wrong leader, we were living and walking wrong, and then we were acting wrong in God's eyes. He's really laying it on these people in Ephesus. A person can't really know, and the topic in chapter 2 is grace. And we'll get to that next week, the famous verse that we all know. But in order to know grace and God's love, you have to know how wretched you and I were. See, because love is determined by how one loves the object. We're the object. Wretched, poor sinners. So we conducted ourselves wrong in God's eyes. Basically, we were living a fleshly, self-centered life. We were giving in to the lust of the flesh because we had a fallen nature, a carnal nature. The flesh likes to control the body, doesn't it? Boy, the flesh loves it. Hey, go ahead, body, take part. I mean, you can be dying and the doctor says, don't you ever touch that or eat that. And you say, the flesh says, go ahead. Don't worry about it. We give in to the lust of the flesh, and it loves to control us. Our fallen nature wants to fulfill the desires of the flesh and the mind. It wants to, we get something in our mind, and it wants to do that. It says that's how we were, because we didn't have any control. The Holy Spirit gives us self-control. And now we have control, if we desire to. But the fallen nature still with us wants to fulfill that lust. The flesh loves sin. Basically, unregenerated man is a pleasure seeker. Fulfilling desires and appetite. Whatever you want to do, even if it's wrong in God's eyes. I've heard people say, I know this is wrong, but I want to do it. Self is on the throne, no thought of God, the old life. Let's turn to 1 John, please, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. do not love the world or the things of in the world, and that's that system headed by Satan, the flesh, earthly society. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, because if you love the Father, you don't love what's going on in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those are the three things that cause us to sin. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. That's our human nature, doing those things. So back to our text, verse 3, we conducted ourselves in fulfilling the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and of the mind. And we're by nature children of wrath, just as the other. Our nature is not naturally good. Man is not naturally good. The Bible teaches just the opposite. By nature, we are children of wrath, doomed for destruction, God's wrath upon us, just as the others. That's us by our human nature. An evangelist in town announced what his topic would be. And his topic was, why your dog does what it does. Guess what? Many dog lovers came to hear him. And what he shared was very obvious. He said, a dog behaves like a dog because he has a dog's nature. Despite the people dressing them up today, carrying them around in strollers and talking to them and having fun with them, they still have a dog nature. I feel like going up to them sometimes and say, how do you know they understand English? 2 Peter chapter 2, please turn there. But that's why a dog does what he does. Because he has a dog's nature. 2 Peter 2, verse 22. Same with an unbeliever. They're dead inside, following the course of this world. No new nature. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, a pig, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. They return because that's what they love. You can clean up a pig, keep it as a pet, but if you let it go outside and, man, there's a mud puddle or dirt and stuff, they're headed for it, for the garbage. Why? Because a pig is a pig. You see, a dog is a dog. And an unbeliever is an unbeliever. And you say, how can you do that? Because that's what they are. Without a new nature, see, I don't think people cover enough the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life, a new nature. Then you're not that old person anymore. You carry around the flesh, but you have a new nature. So you don't have to return to the vomit or to the mud. We receive a nature transplant as a born-again Christian. Now, so far, it's been kind of depressing, isn't it? So we're going to leave the cemetery, the bad news, the depressing news of who we were by nature, and cover why Jesus came into this world and what he did. And so we were dead because of our sin and transgressions, but then we read verse 4. So these people are probably getting really down reading or hearing this letter from Paul, and then all of a sudden he says in verse 4, but God. Those are two great words in the Bible. We see that a lot. Isn't that awesome? But God. Here's all, when you say but, you see that in court cases and a lot of debates and stuff. Don't you hate that? they go on and on and on about the facts, and then they say, and you think it's going your way, then all of a sudden, but, and oh gosh, you're just hoping they don't say but. Because once they do, it changes. Watch out when people are building you up, how great you are and everything else, and then they say, but, I don't want to see you anymore. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. But God, two wonderful words we read of in the Bible. In previous verses, the focus was on man, and now the focus is on God, what God can do. What he's done for others, he will do for you. That's what the way the hymn goes. There was hope for the Ephesians. They were now believers. They've come out of a sinful lifestyle, just as we have. There is hope for all mankind. For every single person alive, there's hope, no matter what their case. Because there is God, Jehovah God, the creator of all things, who is omnipotent, all-powerful, and he deals with life and death. God does. But God. So we now go from gloom to victory because of but God. From gloom to victory, joy and excitement. Our God, who is rich in mercy, I think we can all say amen, mercy, is not getting what I deserve. I sinned. I don't get what I deserve. The wages of sin is death. I have sinned. The Ephesians sinned. All sin. And we all deserve eternal death, judgment, and punishment. But God, but because of God and his mercy, and he's rich in mercy. His mercies are new every morning. If I accept God's terms, which we'll get into next week, I and everyone will receive mercy and not get what we deserve if we just say yes. I believe. I accept. And it's all, and he does this because of his nature. He's loving. He's merciful. And he loves me in his creation. The cross was a demonstration of God's love. But we need to remember this. We're going to cover that Good Friday. We need to remember this. God loved us before the cross, while we were yet sinners. Why? Because that's his nature. He'll always love you and me, and always did. That's his nature. The reason he's provided a way is because of his mercy. Mercy is a demonstration of love, as we've gone into before. There's a lot of ways we demonstrate our love. Being gracious, merciful, kind, forgiving, gentle. It's a demonstration of our love. But those attributes are the way we get blessed. It's just another demonstration of his love, which he always did, love us. You see, if I desire on his terms, I can change and have a new life. In Romans 5:8, let's turn to Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8 and 9. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates, see, it's a demonstration of his love toward us, but yet he loved you. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that wonderful? It's like you love someone, and maybe you're married to an unbeliever. Maybe there's some other people that you love in your life. You love them even before they became a Christian, or maybe they're still not. But your love for them is real. And maybe one day they'll accept the Lord and see how much you really did love them. But the love was always there. The love was always there. He demonstrated it so we could kind of have something tangible to look to say, wow, that's a demonstration of God's love. That while we were yet sinners, and you need to know that why, because then you realize how great that love is. All these things we read about just show us how great that love is. Because it's easy to say, I love you. But if you've got these tremendous, shattering things that just you can't even comprehend, it's such a great thing to do. You have all these things that are demonstrating it through these actions, you realize they really love me. God really loves you. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ was sent to die for us. You see, he's rich in mercy, his love. He has an unconditional love for us. His love is unconditional. He loved and loves the sinner. And he doesn't desire that any perish. That's what people need to understand this time of the year. Just because of the cross, that wasn't the only time that God said he loved you. Do you know when you were cursing him 10 years ago, he loved you? That should bring people to a broken heart. When you understand how much someone loves you. Oh, and I hurt them. And so we see that while we were yet sinners. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. So by nature, God is love. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Well, let's start at verse 7, because this is for us at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God. They're born again and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. And we're talking gnosko, that you really, like we were talking about last week, you get it. You know him. He who does not love does not know him, know God. Why? For God is love. His nature, his characteristic is love. Not just these acts are acts of love. He is love. That's quite different. Just love. Because that's unconditional. His nature is just love. He loved me no matter what I was doing before. He loved me. In this, the love of God was manifested. Here's one way it was shown toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation or atoning sacrifice for our sins. Here it is, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's what Ephesians 2 is about. Because of his mercy, he sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And that's why we can have a new life. God gives man a chance to be regenerated, to be born again, have a new life, a spiritual life, because his nature is love and he's merciful. And if anyone wants to leave the cemetery, they can. They can get out of there. They can come to the Lord and really live and know God. Verse 5, back to our text. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. We'll get into more of that next week. Or not next week, 2 weeks. Next week we'll go over the resurrection. Even when we were dead in trespasses, in our sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Even when we were in our sins, not once we cleaned up our act or became a better person or reached a certain level. Aren't you glad our faith isn't a religion where you have to read these books, go through these sessions, reach a certain amount of believing and things you do, and then you can be accepted. We can be born again immediately by faith. Isn't that wonderful? Because when we were dead in those sins, look at the thief on the cross. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Isn't that wonderful? That's why we pray for people till they take their last breath. Even while they're in the coma, we pray for people. It's been said they can hear. I know they can hear God for sure. He can reach anyone. But when we were a wretched sinner, when we were still in our sins, God provided a merciful way for us to have a new life. And this speaks of a time when we were enemies of Christ and were following the worldly system headed up by Satan. I think of Paul the Apostle. We forget he was a murderer. He was fighting against Christians. And immediately he was regenerated because he believed. He was on his way to take them prisoner. Isn't that something? There's hope for everyone. His intentions were to go and get those Christians. Literally on his way. Little did he know, he'd get to Damascus, but he wouldn't even be able to see. He'd have to be let in. A miracle happened. He saw the light but became blind. Isn't that neat? He could just focus on the Lord for a while. Then his sight came back. So God made us alive when we responded. This demonstrates how much God loves you and me. That's what it demonstrates. We write off people easily sometimes, don't we? Boy, I want nothing to do with them again. Do you know what they did? They said, I'm not pretty. That's it. I mean, we can write them off pretty easily, you know? God has an unconditional love. And I've said this many times. A person can never stop God from loving them, even if they don't love him. The good news is, he's never going to stop loving them. He loves them, just like he loved you and me. But he was blessed the day we said, I do. So God made us alive, demonstrates his love. And you look at the object of his love, a fallen, sinful man, and you say, wow, that's a love that I have a hard time comprehending. That overlook everything. Everything, all the words ever said, all the actions ever done, and just keep saying, I love you, Jim, give up. I love you, give up, come to me. Wow. See, we need to understand how much he loves us, because you and I are going to fall into trials and tribulation, all kinds of things, and the devil will be there trying to get in your head and say, if God really loves you, then why is this happening? And we can say, get out of here in Jesus' name. God is love. Don't ever go there. Remember these verses. Don't ever go there. Just say, get out of here in Jesus' name. He loves me. If you are here today and not a born-again Christian, I hope you all are, you need to know this, that God loves you. He has a great love for you, even if you don't love him or follow him. He doesn't exclude you and say, well, I don't love you anymore. He loves you, and he will love you, always love you. And he doesn't desire that you perish. He wants to help you. He wants to put your life together and give you an eternal life in heaven because he loves you. No one's ever going to love you that much. He loves you. He wants to get you out of the cemetery through his mercy. He doesn't just start loving you when you get saved. So surrender and let him take over your life. Verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. He made us alive together with Christ. And in Ephesians, we've been sharing, in Christ we have all these blessings. And we now associate with our risen Lord. We identify with him that we're in Christ, and so we're alive. He's alive, and we're alive. If he didn't rise from the dead, we would be in that grave, have no hope, and we'd be dead today even while we're walking. But he's alive. He rose from the dead, and we shall never die, he told us. We have been resurrected, and we now have newness of life as a believer. And we need to know these things so that we live it, that we're excited and we live the new life. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, we identify with the death of Jesus in his resurrection, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also, you and me, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And don't let sin reign in your mortal body, and don't obey it in its lusts. We are alive in Jesus Christ. And that's what he has given us now, a chance to get out of the cemetery. And you notice at the end of verse 5, it says, for by grace you have been saved, and we know it's by grace. Unmerited favor, and more on grace next week. Then verse 6, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have been resurrected from the dead. We are no longer in the grave in the cemetery. We're still living on this earth until further notice from God. It might be the rapture, or God taking you and I home, but we're here till further notice. When God says, time, get up here, but we're still living here, but we're raised up there. We've been resurrected. We're not in the grave. And we're sitting together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Physically, we're here, but positionally, we're already seen there with the Lord in heaven. It's a done deal. We've been raised up with him. Why are we here? To share the gospel, to bring glory to God, so more people can go. That's all we're doing here. Because we've been saved. And positionally, we're there. Been raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God has taken us from the grave to glory. God sees us there. Positionally, we're there. We have a position there, and we are in Christ. We've been studying that in Ephesians. Then we need to be communing with him. It's good that we live as though we are citizens of heaven, seated there already. Because all this body is left here to do is represent our Lord, to bring him to other people. That's why we're here. That's our function here. And we can do that on any path in life. In 7, verse 7, and we're there, and that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. What it's saying here, this is really fantastic. In the ages to come, in all eternity, he's raised us up to be together with him in heaven. We, the people called the church, the bride of Christ, this thing we were talking about last week, which was a mystery in the Old Testament. He's done this whole, you know, people wonder, what is life all about? It's so deep. There's so much to know about. You know what life is all about? Ending up in heaven with the Lord, and while we're here, sharing him with other people. That's success. So that, verse 7, in the ages to come, in all eternity, God will be able to show his exceeding riches of his grace, how rich his grace is, in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Remember in Ephesians 1, verse 18, we read at the end of it, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? How God has an inheritance also, we do, but he has an inheritance. And what is his inheritance? Us, the church, believe it or not, you and I are his inheritance. He says, he's so proud of us. And that's what it's saying in verse 7. In the ages to come, he's going to take the church to be in heaven with him forever, the bride of Christ, unique, not angelic beings or whatever exists in heaven. We are a special group that's going to be in heaven also with the Lord forever. And we are going to bring glory to God because we're his inheritance. And what he's saying is we will be in heaven with the angels and heavenly beings and will be the subject of God's grace and kindness in Jesus Christ. We will be on exhibit. We're God's pride and joy. And he's going to be able to say to the angelic beings and everyone else in heaven, look, the church, they're my inheritance. Look at this group of people. They're mine. And they're going to be here forever with me. Isn't that wonderful? It's like he's happy to have everyone around his table. Look at this group with me. The church, they call themselves down there, the called out ones, the born again believers, so that in the ages to come, he will be every other being in heaven, he's going to show his exceeding riches of his grace. Look how graceful I have been. Look how rich my grace is. These people are here because they got here through the kindness in Christ Jesus. God will speak of us. We sinners saved by grace. In other words, we will be the demonstration of his grace and his kindness. Just like people look to the cross as a demonstration of his love now. But in heaven, the sign to the heavenly beings will be us. Look it. Here they are. We may be in awe. You know, God already knows who's going to be there, but we don't. So we might be there in heaven and be in awe and say, so-and-so is here? I can't believe it. I would never believe it. You'll say, I can't believe it. But they were born again. It'll just be a testimony to God. Say, yeah, you couldn't believe it, but look, here they are. That's how rich in grace I am. They believed also, as horrible a life as they led. God has done a wonderful thing for us, taking us from death to life. God, we thank you for your gift of life. We thank you for loving us unconditionally. We thank you for these words today. They're so rich. It's even hard to comprehend how loving and merciful and kind and gracious you are, Lord. But Lord, we accept all that you have for us. We're so thankful you're in our life. God, light a fire in our hearts. Use us in the way you've called us to be used while we're here on this earth. Show us how to effectively share your love, your grace, and mercy with others. Give us boldness. Give us a great prayer life. Encourage us in the Word of God. Open our mouths to share with other people. Please, Lord, help us to fulfill your calling upon our life. We thank you so much for what you've done for us. We are so rich. And to whom much is given, much is required. I pray we would understand that. Use us, Lord. Bless us today. Let us remember these verses, how we will be on exhibit in heaven, a sign of your grace and your kindness and your love. We were so unworthy, Lord, and here we are, your children. And you take pride in us. You love us so much. We thank you for that. I pray we all leave here today just rejoicing in the Lord, laying everything else down, just looking forward to being with you and being used by you while we're here. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.